Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My name is Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. You can listen to this broadcast there on demand anytime. You'll see the last 5 days programs. In case you missed the first two installments of the Book of Jeremiah, you'll find them there, along with many other studies on books of the Bible. And I suggest everyone start with the Book of Genesis there on my website and start listening. Perhaps you'll hear the scripture revealed in a way that you've never heard it before. Something for you to consider anyway. And as always, like I say, if you find I'm wrong on something, you don't agree with me, and you want to challenge me, I would just love to be challenged. Just get out your e-sword, your King James, authorized King James Bible with the Greek and Hebrew Textus Receptus there, and challenge me out of that. If you can't challenge me using the Word of God, then perhaps it would be better to do a little more study. Okay, we're in Jeremiah, chapter 5, and we left off in verse 17, where it says Jeremiah's prophesying of a nation that is going to come in to Jerusalem, and he says, "They shall eat up your harvest, your bread, which your sons and your daughters should eat. They will eat your flocks and your herds, and they shall eat up your vines and your figs. They shall impoverish your fenced cities wherein thou trusted with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith Yahuwah, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass when you shall say, Wherefore doth Yahuwah our God all these things unto us? Then shall thou answer them, Like as you have forsaken me, and served strange gods in your land, so shall you serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." You know, here our Heavenly Father is using the same words that he used when he came on the scene as Messiah, when he became a man, saying, having eyes they don't see, having ears they don't hear. And destruction came upon Judah, the temple, and the city was destroyed. And then Yahshua, the Son of God, comes, the Messiah. He comes speaking the same words. Some 500 years later, well, more than 500 and some years later, and that's right. And guess what happens? Though the city and the temple were rebuilt, well, they're again destroyed. The abomination which maketh desolate was present in Judah in Jeremiah's day. It was also present in Judah, in Israel, and Jerusalem in the Messiah's day. Verse 22 of chapter 5. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? He says, you know, I've set the boundaries of the sea, of the oceans, and you're not gonna fear me? Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear Yahuwah our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares, they set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Now, we've been talking about the deceitfulness of the constant, losing my words here, of the constant temptations to go out and borrow money to buy things. And they give you credit cards and bank accounts and loans. By virtue of your identifying number, you can take part in their system of usury. Think about it. Your iniquities have turned away these things, the things of our God. Your sins have withheld good things from you. Wicked men lay in wait. They set a snare, they set a trap, and they catch men. So their houses full of deceit, they are become great and waxen rich. And you see it. They're great and they're waxen rich. You got your TV and your beer, but you're a slave while you ignore the truth of what's going on. The waxen, the great, the rich ones that have set the snare and the trap for your soul, they're up there laughing at you, rich beyond their wildest dreams. At the same time, they whisper in your ear, "This is the freest nation on the earth. We have the greatest system of justice in the world." They keep repeating the mantras over and over, and people believe it. And they lie daily about everything just to keep you drinking your beer and watching your football. That's right. Or whatever it is, whatever delight they put before your eyes to keep you happy, a happy slave. They are waxen fat. They shine, yes. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. Yes, they do, don't they? They overpass the weeds of the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith Yahuwah? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Well, let's talk about this for a while. Talking about the cause of the fatherless, the cause of the needy. Our good friend James said, true religion is this, to take care of the widows and the orphans. It kind of sounds like the same thing that Jeremiah is talking about here, the fatherless and the needy. Isn't that the widows and the orphans? The fatherless and the needy? And America goes, well, we take care of the fatherless and the needy. Let them go to the state. Let them pray to the state. Let them get the mark of the beast, and the state will take care of them. We take care of the needy and the fatherless and the widows. Let them collect welfare. You know, that's a great sin, because it excuses you from charity. It excuses you from giving. Let someone else do it. The same sin. And you're requiring them to go pray to a foreign god, to the god of the state, to receive help. And you're teaching them, just as you have done, to forget his benefits and go to another god for benefits. Nah, the law of God to take care of the orphans and the widows, that was never to be on the state. That's not authorized by our Heavenly Father's word. The state is there to punish evildoers, not to take care of the needy. The law of God, his family law for family government, required the family to take care of their orphans and widows. Now, if they were a widow indeed, and we see that the early church fathers talked about this, about a widow indeed, that if she was a widow, that the church would take care of her, she was a widow indeed. And that would mean that she had no one to take care of her, or that her family was wicked and sinful and would not do their duty under the law of God. And the early church fathers never said, go to the state, sign up for a number. As a matter of fact, we got the forms here. As a matter of fact, we've incorporated with the state, so we're going to be their agent to put you under another god. Well, why not? We serve two masters. Our one master we trust will let us into heaven when we die, and the other master will take care of us while we're here on the earth. That's why we have two masters. Isn't that what it's all about? When the church joins the state, when the church becomes incorporated in the state, they're proclaiming they have two masters. One, to take care of their eternal disposition, so they can go to heaven when they die. Pie in the sky when they die. And the other master to take care of them now. The only time that counts. Yet they prosper. That's right. And, you know, you see it in the government. They prosper, they become rich, and yes, you know, they leave it to the poor people, all of the taxpayers out there who have signed on to their usurious system by deceit. Yes, you become their slave, and they're going to take your money and redistribute it. Now, according to his law, a family is supposed to take care of its own. The widows and the orphans were to be taken care of in the family. And by the example given by the early church fathers, if it wasn't taken care of by the family, then the church would come together and they would make charitable donations voluntarily, because charity can never be forced. And charity is never a unanimous thing or anonymous thing. I mean, you can give anonymously to feed the poor or whatever, but it is you giving. It's not someone taking your money from you and making the decisions as to where it's going to go. It's you giving it to the poor, you giving it to the orphans and the widows, and you giving it for that purpose. You know what purpose you're giving it for. And that's the way charity is supposed to work. And because most people that are part of this world monetary system, card-carrying members, because they are coerced into giving, and the state redistributes it through their welfare systems, they say, well, I already gave. I gave at the office. I don't have to be charitable. It excuses them from true charity. What a shame. Chapter 5 and verse 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith Yahuwah? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. And we talked about some of these prophets yesterday. There are plenty of them out there. Prognosticators, taking every little cut-and-paste scripture prophecy and trying to fit it into the news headlines of the day. Or some of them are just so deluded, they just make stuff up, and because it sounds good to them, they preach it over the air. And most people won't know the difference, because one delusion leads to another. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 1. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoah, a place in Palestine, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakarim, for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. O ye children of Benjamin, the son of my right hand. That's what Benjamin means. O ye children of Benjamin. Verse 2, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her, and they shall pitch their tents against her round about, and they shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadow of the evening are stretched out. Arise, let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath Yahuwah of hosts said, hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy, oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine, and turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of Yahuwah is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Do you delight in the word of God? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Yahuwah. Do you delight in his word? Do you delight in his law? Well, I'll tell you, if you go to the corporate church, you don't delight in his law. You don't delight in his word, because you say the commandments were nailed to the cross, because that's what the false prophets have taught you. False prophets, they lead you up to the kingdom. That's what the Messiah said. But they don't suffer you to enter, because they don't go in themselves. Instead, they tell you, you get to go to heaven when you die. Now listen to this for a minute. What if the Messiah went about preaching and saying, repent, so you can go to heaven when you die? You know, he never said that once. That was not the message he preached. What a weak message that would be. No wonder these corporate church people continue to sin and adopt the ways of the world, because the law has been nailed to the cross. And so what? You get to go to heaven when you die. Eat, drink, and be merry, because we die. And I have been assured by my preacher who said if I say the magic words that once saved, always saved, no one will snatch me out of his hand. That's right. But never did our Heavenly Father, yes, he promised that no one would take us out of his hand, but he never promised that he would not allow us to leave him, because he is not a tyrant. There is no force in his kingdom. He forces no one to stay in his kingdom. If you hate his law, and if you want to practice wickedness, then you have to go where the law allows wickedness. You have to go to another god. That's right. And that's why they're up there. Why all the homosexuals and those that practice adultery and wickedness have petitioned their gods and said, please, let us marry. Give us license to marry, for the law of God will not give us license to marry. That's right. His word doesn't give them license, so they have to go petition another god for a license to marry. And they've made those men in the black robes their high priests. And now they're crying out to them, because democracy didn't go their way this time. At least didn't all go their way. Get to kill children before they're born, don't they? Even their children get to kill their children without permission from them before they're born. And that's okay, because they went to their god, the state, their god, democracy, and said it was so. But they weren't happy with that. Now they want their high priest to overturn the decision of the majority of the people, because they want more wickedness. They will never be happy until they can practice all the wickedness they want. And not only do they just want to practice wickedness, because their God allows that. Oh yeah, you guys, go ahead, men with men, women with women. You can have civil unions, you get all the rights and all the benefits and you get all the same stuff. But no, they want to destroy that which is good. Something holy that our Heavenly Father set apart. And he said, marriage, a man and a woman. I have declared it. I have established it. They want to destroy that by making their ungodly union equal to it. Hear the words of Jeremiah the prophet. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.